Welcome to another edition of the New Capital Show. I am Leo Gold, your host. It is February 28th. It's a leap year, isn't it? Yeah? We're going to go to February 29th tomorrow. Today is February 28th, the next to last day of the month of February. It is a pleasure to be with you on another beautiful winter day here in Houston, Texas. Greetings to all of you listening in the Houston and the Southeast Texas area. And, of course, to all of our guests who listen by podcast as well at www.newcapitalshow.com, www.newcapitalshow.com. We're working on something new at newcapitalshow.com, which is a call-in line. So if you want to have after-the-show call-in or you want to call in at any time and make a comment, you can do that, and we may end up playing Call of the Week, something like that. We're working on that. As I said, we are in the middle of pledge drive, so we're going to spend some significant time doing that in the next hour of the show. We are expecting Rick Noriega to come in and sit down for just a few words around 11:30 today. That would be about 15 minutes from now. We'll see if Rick shows. He is in the Texas House of Representatives. He's serving his fifth term, and he is running in the March 4th primary for the Democratic nominee as for U.S. Senate. So this would be the position from the Democratic Party that would run against U.S. Senator John Cornyn, who is a Republican. Rick Noriega, we are expecting to come in shortly and sit down and talk with us for a bit. Thank you, gifts to give away. As always, the New Capital Show T-shirt. You can see pictures of those at newcapitalshow.com at the $90 pledge level. At the $90 pledge level as well, the collection of Leo Gold's New Capital Show monologues, you know, for your coffee table. They're coming back from the printer any day now. $150, the meet and greet with Jim Hightower. Jim Hightower, who is a great Texas progressive, has a new book, Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow. He'll be at a reception on March 19th at the $150 level. The buy one, get one free solar flashlight put out by Mark Bent here in Houston. Mark goes to Africa. Every time you buy one of these flashlights, a second one, just like it, is taken to Africa. I love this thing. I use it all the time. It fits in your hand beautifully. It's got five or six LED bulbs in it, which are the low wattage but high intensity bulbs. It's got rechargeable batteries, and then it's got a solar panel on the side. So if you leave it in the sun, it recharges. Unlike regular flashlights where you always have to change the batteries, these batteries recharge. So this is an environmentally friendly flashlight. And Mark Bent takes flashlights regularly to Africa as well, and they are used in Africa in villages where there is no electricity. Think how incredible this must be to receive one of these flashlights in Africa. So when you subscribe at the $150 level, that you are doing not just something good for yourself in getting one of these, but you are also sending one to someone in need in Africa. Let's see. One thing I want to talk about today is about KPFT, and of course we talk about KPFT during Pledge Drive. You know, we tell you how great we are. We tell you about all the great things. You already know as a regular listener to the station, you know, but we try to highlight some things. We try to bring them to your attention because they may not be foremost in your mind and people are busy. One of the things that I think is really notable about the station is the civility of the station. And which is ironic because one of the things I heard when I said, you know, I think I'm going to go do a show at KPFT, I heard from people, oh, well, you know, it's raving liberals, right? This is raving liberals. Angry liberals, right? You hear that all the time. Angry liberals. Angry, right? Angry. You know, all you have to do is turn your radio over to the AM band and pick certain competitors out pick it, 740, 950. You know, it's like it goes up every 200 points on the dial on AM. And you want to hear anger. I mean, you want to hear anger and delusion and absolute madness. You will hear it there, and I never hear it here at KPFT. I hear civility. I may hear disagreement. I may hear forceful disagreement. I may hear you know, I may hear sadness, I may hear anger sometimes, but I never hear lack of civility. I never hear lack of civility. I never hear people being impolite to other people. I rarely hear, if ever, any ad hominem attacks on people where they're attacking their person rather than their ideas or discussing their ideas. I mean, if you listen to Democracy Now, as much disagreement as you would say there is by Amy Goodman and company of Democracy Now and generally across KPFT with George W. Bush, the president of this country, I don't think I've ever heard, you know, fighting words, inflammatory words against the president of the country. No, I just haven't. I hear disagreement with the policies. I hear sadness and speculation on what motivations might exist, but I don't hear incivility. I hear only discussion of facts. And I think that is an extraordinarily valuable thing to have in a radio station. A radio station that you can go to and you know that you are not going to get the junk that you hear on other stations, the incivility. If you appreciate that, if you appreciate a place where you can hear civil discourse, which is so rare, think about how rare that is in our society these days to have civil discourse. Something that should be a keystone of a civilization, a keystone of a modern society, is so lacking and so absent, but yet you can find it here at KPFT. Then please show your appreciation for civility. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Let me just give you an example of something I heard on another station last week that really absolutely blew me away. You may know a man named Michael Berry. Michael Berry was a city councilman here in Houston for a while, and then he was term limited out. He's a conservative, and he's now basically taken over the management of AM 740, the radio station here in Houston that carries the likes of Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, and then they finish off the day with Michael Berry himself. Michael Berry had an interview. He arranged for an interview with Senator Ted Kennedy, Democrat of Massachusetts. Senator Ted Kennedy, who was in Texas a week or so ago, and he was campaigning for Barack Obama in South Texas, and he granted Michael Berry an interview. Well, first of all, I thought this was wonderful. Michael Berry decided that he's going to have a liberal politician on his conservative talk show, and I proceeded to listen to the interview, and it was good. Michael Berry's questions were fine, and Senator Kennedy took the time to give long answers and polite answers, and it was a polite interview. And Michael Berry replayed this interview. It had been pre-recorded. It had been taped. And it ended. And I thought, wow, I'm really surprised how nice that is. And then Michael Berry says, after the end of the interview, he says, what does he say? Michael Berry, at the end of the interview, the tape has stopped. He says, why don't you take a breath, you blowhard? Ted Kennedy, who has just taken 10 minutes or so to give an interview to this talk radio show host here in Houston. And what does Michael Berry do? When Ted Kennedy is long gone, remember, this is pre-recorded. Ted Kennedy's not even there. Michael Berry says, why don't you take a breath, you blowhard? Michael Berry doesn't even have the guts to say it to Ted Kennedy. Doesn't even have the guts to say it to him when he had him on the air with him, recording the interview. Doesn't even have the guts to say it to the man, not face-to-face or on the phone. Uses Ted Kennedy for this interview and then has the incivility to say such a thing to a man who has served in the U.S. Senate of this country for decades now. And by all accounts, including those of his political opposition, has been an extraordinary legislator. A person who has created legislation, who has led legislation through the Congress, who has led among his party and also opposition. A person who served as a city councilman representing our city, then turned around and used the public airwaves. Remember, this station, AM 740, is going out over the same public airwaves that KPFT is going out over. These are your airwaves. 740 has a lease. Michael Berry has the audacity to say, why don't you take a breath, you blowhard, to somebody who's not even there to hear it or respond to it. My friends, that is the kind of thing that goes on so-called talk radio every single day, almost every single minute of the day. And that is a shame. If you appreciate a station that doesn't engage in that kind of behavior, in that kind of talk, in those kinds of hurtful words, please show your appreciation by joining KPFT, because your help helps us stay on the air and helps us lead. We are the leader in civility. We are the leader in civil discourse about difficult issues, whether it's politics or racial issues, social issues, education, science. It doesn't matter what it is. We are the leaders in civil discourse. It doesn't mean we shy away from the difficult issues. It doesn't mean we don't have strong feelings. But we do not engage in that kind of talk, the likes of which I just gave you. It so disgusted me. I thought it was so terrible and such a blight on our city of Houston and such a blight on this man, Michael Berry. Shame on him. I mean, we're seeing that phrase thrown around these days, started by the Clinton campaign or Hillary Clinton. But in this case, it truly is a shame. Somebody who served on the legislative body here in the city of Houston, who should have learned to work with other people, uses a what do they call that, Bob? They call that a kidney punch, right? A sucker punch? It's called a sucker punch. Saying something to somebody who just did a favor for you, and the minute they turn their back, sucker punch. 713-526-5738 is the number for you to call to show, your appreciation for KPFT and your outrage at that kind of behavior on stations that compete with us. Show your outrage and show your appreciation at the same time. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. 713-526-KPFT is the number to call to show that you appreciate the civility and the straight-ahead appreciation for the honest discourse that we have at this radio station, the unwillingness of this station to pull any kind of sucker punches and hit people in the back and call them names that are meaningless and simply reflect our own biases. Race is beginning to rear its head, and you're going to see it increasingly as these political primaries go on. Race is rearing its head in places like AM radio, starting to rear its head in the media and showing how despicable it is. I heard a woman call the Rush Limbaugh show the other day and said, you know, I guess if Barack Obama is elected president, then the liberals won't be able to say that there's racism anymore, right? If Barack Obama happens to be elected president of this country, right? No racism existing anymore in this country. All racial problems are totally evaporated, and you can't claim anymore that there are any racial problems in the country. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. So we ask you, 713-526-5738, to call the station. We are in pledge drive, and we would appreciate your call and your membership. Coming into the studio right now is Rick Noriega. Rick, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for having us.
Let's get you set up here. You got your headphones here so you can hear. How's that? Does that work?
That's great. That's fantastic.
Great to have you. Thanks for stopping in today. You are running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate.
That's
here,
correct.
Here in Texas.
Here in Texas.
How is it going?
It's going fantastic. I'll tell you, I think that Texas is really stepping up to the plate. They recognize what a critical point that we are in our state's history, in this country's history, and so the outpour of voters is just really exciting to watch.
What are you hearing from people? I mean, you must be meeting tons and tons of people, going to lots and lots of events. Tell us some of the things you're hearing. What are people saying to you that's exciting to you, that's interesting, that's different, that people might not know about?
I think more than anything else is that people are just fed up across the country and across the state, and Texas is no different. They're tired of being misled, misinformed, mismanaged. They're tired of being told that we're doing well. You know, we're winning in Iraq, that the economy's great, there's a chicken in every pot. And they're just sick and tired of it. And I think that's why we're seeing the American people and Texans step up to the plate, and we see this record-breaking numbers of early voters.
So we are seeing record-breaking numbers of early voters, and it looks like turnout is going to be high for the primary that's coming up on March 4th.
Yeah, I think we will surpass any kind of records we've had here in the state of Texas. My understanding is that we've already busted the record for early votes in the state in excess of 500,000, which exceeded 2002 early vote levels. And so I think that in terms of the Democratic primary, we will see by March the 4th also a record number of votes, period, for a Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of difficult to compare, you know, apples and oranges, given that the previous record was, I believe, 1972 during the Vietnam War, and everybody in the state of Texas was a Democrat, and everybody participated in the Democratic primary, and so it was a much different circumstance, and the primary was on a different date. So it's not really comparing apples to apples, but nonetheless, there's something real that's occurring on the ground, that Americans are stepping up to the plate to get their state and their nation back on the right course.
How much has to do with this incredibly compelling presidential race for the presidential nomination on the Democratic side between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama? Is it the race itself? Is it one of those candidates in particular who's bringing something new to the state? What are you seeing there?
Well, I think that I think that Texas was going to have a high level of primary participants anyway because of our interest in the presidential race. And just, again, the tone and mood of discontent across our state, which is the same as across the nation. With Texas now as a real deciding factor in who will be the nominee, then that just kind of upped the ante. And increased whatever we were going to see as an increase already. So that just kind of exponentially increased our participation.
I'm seeing reports in places like Daily Coast, which, by the way, is a very strong backer of your campaign. I'm a regular reader of Marcos's blog, and I'm seeing reports coming in that the Obama campaign is extremely well organized and bringing off large numbers of volunteers, voter registration. As you talk about a ground game, they're talking about a lot of ground game going on that I'm reading on Daily Coast and other such sort of reports that are coming in. Is that the case?
Well, I'm seeing it too across the state, and they have a phenomenal template for organization. I think that now has been tested across the country, and I think they're honing their game as they move from state to state. Texas, of course, is unique because of its size and population, but you know, obviously the Clinton campaign too are no amateurs to organizing and working their base, and so it'll be really interesting to see at the end of the day, March the 4th, how this thing turns out.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, this is a special fundraising edition of the New Capital Show. You were listening to Public Radio 90.1 KPFT here in Houston. We are funded by our listeners. That means we are funded by you, and the number that you can call to make your pledge and to initiate your membership or renew your membership is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. I'm joined here in the studio today by Rick Noriega, who is running for the U.S. Senate, hopefully will be running for U.S. Senate in November is the ultimate goal, but before that you need to win the primary on March 4th.
That's correct.
And presumably you've got some competitors who are running against you as well.
We have, there are four total candidates in the race, and of course mathematically it's very difficult to get 50% plus one. I mean, we're fully anticipating being in a runoff with Gene Kelly, who is one of those perennial kind of guys. But you know, I've been in public service for a long time, and of course with you know, going on 30 years of military career, to, you know, so that people have the right and the opportunity to be able to participate and offer themselves up for public office. And so we fully anticipate being in a runoff just based on the numerical aspect. And And there's just so many new voters. Mm. We just don't know who's coming out to vote anymore. I mean, this election in particular, were it a traditional Democratic primary, we would have a much keener sense of those, those participants mm-hmm. in the Democratic primary. In this instance, with all these new voters, even the Democratic candidates don't know who's coming out to vote. Mm-hmm.
Let's give you a chance to acquaint people with you just a little bit. You're from Houston. You grew up here. Went to high school here. You were a teacher for a bit. Served in the military and served in the Texas House of Representatives. I think you're still currently serving in the Texas House.
Yeah, that's right, Leo. Native Houstonian, fourth generation, graduate of Mount Carmel High School, undergraduate.
We used to play football against you guys. Howard St. John's School.
Oh, really? Well, y'all are always better than we are.
I don't know about that. I think we got whooped.
I don't know. But, we certainly gave it a lot of heart.
Yeah, no question.
But University of Houston, ROTC, commissioned through ROTC at the University of Houston, master's degree from the Kennedy School up east, and going on 27 years now, either in a reserve status or guard, 5 terms in the Texas House, 1 tour of duty Afghanistan, 1 tour of duty on the Texas border.
What do you want people to know about these foreign wars that we're currently engaged in? You spent time in Afghanistan. We're now engaged, of course, in an additional war in Iraq. What do you think people should know about those wars from a perspective of a soldier, I guess I would ask, before
well,
the perspective of a politician?
Well, I think clearly that we have to bring our soldiers home from Iraq as quickly and as safely as possible. I think that we have lost our way internationally and domestically, leadership-wise, and that's why I'm running for this seat. And it's a function of leading by example. You can't behave in a manner of unilateral invasions and so forth and expect the world to respect you. You can't say folks around the world can't torture people, but we can torture people a certain way. You can't pollute the world, but unless you pollute the environment the way we want to pollute. And so it's a leadership by example. But I will tell you that I am a proponent of what both Democratic candidates are talking about, and that is a removal of combat troops in a very short time period, 60 days, as quickly as possible. The best way to do that, to extract ourselves from Iraq, is to have a new commander-in-chief. And so that's why whoever the Democratic nominee is, I will support, because I just to categorically reject what is being proposed by Mr. McCain that we could be there 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. And I think it's a political solution. It's not a military solution. And one more drop of American blood will not influence the behavior of the political leadership in Iraq. They won't take responsibility. And we just had, another kid from Houston killed, I believe, yesterday. And the day before that, a couple of other of our soldiers were killed. And I think we lose sight oftentimes of that. And I've had mainstream media ask me all kinds of process questions about this election. Oh, you know, how you cut your hair, how you speak a certain way, all these things. And I like to ask them, I said, do you know the kid's name?
Mm-hmm.
That was killed yesterday. Let's keep our eye on the ball about why we see people coming out and voting, because our government is not listening to what the people are saying.
And increasingly, so many of our soldiers have families. They have children. They have husbands. They have wives. And when we lose these people, the impact on the survivors is just incredible and catastrophic. I'm seeing news reports that there is an enormous strain on the military right now, that in fact our commanders are making these comments. What do you know of this? And
well, as you know, I still command an infantry battalion in the Texas Military Forces, which is a huge honor for me. Starting out as a private and then having the privilege and honor of commanding a battalion of infantry soldiers is it's just a real honor. But I will tell you, during at Christmas time, when we do our family readiness groups and so forth, and have the families come in and the children come in for holiday meals, to have young children or spouses come up to me as the commander and say, don't take my dad again, or please take care of him. That's something that John Cornyn will never understand, and how we are affecting and breaking families in this country because of poor judgment, poor management, etc.
For very little return, it appears. I mean, for the there's a book out now, I think, or it's coming out by Joseph Stiglitz, the Nobel Prize winning economist. I think it's going to be called the $3 trillion war, something like that.
And yeah,
they've taken a look at what ongoing costs of the war would be in. Including costs that have already been spent, and they add in soft costs and rehabilitation of wounded soldiers and insurance that will be required to cover people on an ongoing basis. And when all these costs are mixed into the pot, they began at $1 trillion, and they decided that they wanted to do even more additional studies to try to pin the figure down, and the figure just kept going up. $1 trillion, $2 trillion, trillions and trillions of dollars. And does it seem to you, and are you hearing from people, that that this is now becoming an economic concern, that people are concerned that money is not being expended in a way that provides a return to the people of the country?
Well, without question, I think that everything pivots actually off this occupation in Iraq, that we're spending $12 billion a month on a credit card that mm-hmm. The Chinese own the paper on. And whether it's our local economy, whether even it's the $100 a barrel of oil right now, which because of the instability and uncertainty in the marketplace, we see a lot of those costs built into that. It really does so much pivots on that. And I'll tell you that we will bear as a state and as a nation, as you just mentioned, costs for a long, long time. We have a lot of soldiers out there who are wounded that are not visible to the eye. When we I sit on the Defense Affairs Committee in the Texas House, and we recently had a hearing, and we heard testimony of the needed additional benefits and services for soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and that when, say, you have a soldier deploy once, and perhaps they may need some form of treatment when they return, then they go a second time, and then they return. Then they go the third time, and then they return. And so we are compounding a lot of issues that we will have to deal with for a long, long time. And I don't think that certainly my opponent, Mr. Cornyn, can ever understand, especially after having voted against the Webb-Hagel Amendment, which would have allowed soldiers to be at home with their families the same amount of time that they're deployed. And I think that's just a function of not ever having walked the walk.
This was a bill that would have been sponsored by two former soldiers, Chuck Hagel, a Republican from Nebraska, and Jim Webb, who was elected from Virginia in the election just a couple of years ago.
That's correct.
2006. 713-526-5738. If you're just joining us, this is the New Capital Show, a special fund drive edition. I want to invite Dwayne to come back on and let us know how we're doing in our fund drive, and tell us where we need to be and where we need to get to. 713-526-KPFT. And in case you just joined us, my very special guest today is Rick Noriega, who is running in the March 4th primary for the position of, not position, he's running for the candidacy. He's running for the right to run as the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senator for the position that is currently held by Senator John Cornyn, who is a Republican. Dwayne, I hear you rejoining us.
I am here, yes. I am rejoined, and welcome, Rick, and welcome to the airwaves, Leo, for our second round of Winterthon 2008 for the New Capital Show. Matthew and Emily have gotten in. Matthew, a renewed member. Emily, brand new to the family as of this program.
Welcome, Emily. We love new members.
And also another renewed member is Laura from up in the Heights. And Rick, while we've got you, maybe you can help explain something for her. She's going to participate in the caucus. She wants to hear more about this process and how how you have to do what we're referring to as the Texas two-step. Either, you know, folks who've early voted who have to come back with proof that they voted on the evening of Tuesday, right after the precincts close at 7, you know, 7:15, you come back and you caucus. What's that experience like? What do you, what kind of proof do you have that you've already been involved in the process? And what's going to happen on Tuesday night about 7:15 at all these precinct houses across Texas?
Well, if you first and foremost, as you just described, Dwayne, If you vote on election day, then you need to attend your caucus convention where the location where you normally vote 15 minutes after the polls close. That would be at 7:15 on Tuesday evening, March the 4th.
Now, you don't need anything to vote in the primary other than your regular demonstration, whatever they require at the polls, which is a driver's license or a voter certificate, to vote.
That's correct. You take your voter registration card. They will stamp it in the appropriate primary that you are voting, whether Republican or Democrat.
You'll declare
that you're going to vote. You're going to participate in one primary or the other.
And we may have listeners who are voting in the Republican primary, and we welcome you as listeners. We welcome you as voters, and we certainly welcome you as members. You are welcome here at KPFT. Now, go on, Rick.
Well, but what you can't do then is to have voted either in the Democratic primary and then participate in the Republican caucus, or vice versa.
Got that, folks? You got to choose one. You can't vote in both.
Well, there's a third choice too now. And Ralph Nader just announced his running mate, and the Green Party hasn't announced who they're going to be running, to my awareness. But there are these other parties that are out there who are going to be asking for people to sign their petitions after the primaries. And if you vote in either of the two primaries, Democrat or Republican, you get that little stamp on your voter ID card. Then you are disallowed from signing anyone's petition to get on the ballot who's not in one of the two main parties. Am I correct?
That's correct, Dwayne. And I certainly hope people won't throw their vote away this time like they did in 2000, which is, you know, I could attribute Mr. Nader as much as anything for the last 8 years for having been a spoiler then. But nonetheless, I mean, it's a free country and people can do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do vote early, say, for instance, you went to where we're currently located here on Lovett Street, if you went to West Gray to vote early, and you can vote early in any early vote location.
35 locations in Harris County, if I'm correct. Yeah. So there's a lot of places you can go.
And just show either your voter registration card or picture ID. They will look you up on the computer. You vote. And if you vote early, then if you have your card stamped, you can take that stamp to the schoolhouse or to the whatever the location is that you typically would vote in your neighborhood to participate in the caucus afterwards, in the precinct convention afterwards. And then you would declare at that meeting who your presidential preference is, and try to then advance your preferred candidate to your state senatorial convention.
Now, you don't have to attend the caucus to vote in the primary. Your vote in the primary will be counted.
That's correct.
But this is additional participation available in the caucus, an additional allocation of delegates that takes place during the caucus.
That is correct.
I said that right?
That is correct. That is correct, because we are not a winner-take-all state. We have a variety of mechanisms now how delegates are allotted, and one of those methods is by participating in this caucus immediately after the election.
Mm-hmm. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, Rick Noriega, who is running as a Democrat in the nominating process on March 4th, described for us the process that you would go through to participate in the primary, and if you wanted as well, in the caucuses.
And is there an easy way, Rick, for someone, if they're not absolutely sure whether or not their precinct is going to be voting at the place that they normally voted, or if it's being combined into a multiple precinct kind of deal and maybe moved from the community center to a school or a church room or something like that, how to easily access that information?
Certainly. You can go online to the county clerk's office Harris County Clerk's office, and they have a method where you can input your address and so forth, and they should have identified at this time all the voting locations for March the 4th. Those locations have already been named or identified, and or you can call the county clerk's office too, or the Democratic Party office, or the Republican Party office, and they should be able to provide that that information. And let me just say too, I also want to thank Matthew, Emily, and Laura for being members of KPFT.
Yes, right. We are grateful. We are grateful to all three of you, and we hope that others listening will follow your example and join in becoming members and join in making your pledge today to 90.1 KPFT, the home here in Houston of civil radio, which, as I said at the top of the show, is such a rare but critical thing. Rick, Ralph Nader, real quickly, I gather you're no fan of him running separately. At the same time, it seems to me that he's been instrumental in helping bring a number of issues, at least in the previous runs, to the forefront, or at least as close to it as he could get them, and to, in some ways, help revitalize tenets of the Democratic Party that might have gone missing before. If I have any problem with Ralph, it's that he might run as a Democrat. He might throw his hat in the ring and go through the same process that the other candidates have gone through, people like Chris Dodd, and people like Bill Richardson and others. To me, I'd like to see Ralph go ahead and say, I'm going to run as a Democrat, and I'm going to bring these issues to the party because I think they're important to the party, rather than I'm going to absent myself from the party. Nevertheless, are we seeing this type of activism bring back and revitalize the Democratic Party with some ideas, people like Barack Obama, even Ralph Nader, and so forth?
Well, you may recall that Mr. Nader actually endorsed John Edwards. He was a John Edwards supporter.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know, you know, splitting hairs of activism versus narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of bringing issues to the table.
You'd say he supported a candidate. That candidate did not win in the primaries.
That's cool.
There it is.
Then it becomes a function of, I mean, okay, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, we live in a free country, and mm-hmm. folks certainly have that right. But I would suggest that, given the importance of this particular election and the course that we're on, whether it's status quo, in my view, and going backward, or if we're going to go forward, do you want to influence that process to where you jeopardize a different direction?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. It's a special edition of the New Capital Show, and I'm joined by Rick Noriega, who is running for U.S. Senate. Hopefully, he hopes he will be running directly head-to-head against John Cornyn. Anything we want to say about John Cornyn today? That's useful for people to understand, in your opinion, and where you think he stands on issues, and where he stands, especially as those issues pertain to the state of Texas.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting. You mentioned the term earlier, the Texas two-step,
mm-hmm.
and you may have read today's paper regarding my revealing all of my military records and so forth.
They were asking for that.
Well, the Republican Party of Texas was, and I just assumed that they probably didn't have honorable intentions in asking for those. It was just I just made a wild assumption there. And so I had made the commitment that I was going to release those to the people of the state of Texas. And at any rate, we also were able then to demonstrate just a whole host of votes by the junior senator from the state, in votes that were not in support of veterans and veterans issues, whether it's sending men and women into combat without the proper protection and body armor, and then when they come home, not providing them the services and benefits that they earned. I think it's going to allow us to show a real difference in candidacies or style of leadership. That's about bringing people together versus trying to find ways to separate us and represent the special interests of Washington, D.C., and not Washington, and not Texas families.
We've got a question from a caller asking more about the process. Can a voter in an independent party attend either the Republican or Democratic caucus? Can a voter, it says, can a voter in an independent party, I presume that means that they are members of the party, attend either the Republican or Democratic caucus?
They would be either a Green Party member or...
Let's say they're a Green Party member,
yeah.
I guess.
I'm really not sure. I'm not aware. I don't know the answer to that. I think that would be... I think either of the parties, Republican or Democrat party, would be able to answer that with a phone call. But I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. What sorts of changes are we seeing at the issues level here in Texas? What are the issues that when people come up to you and say, listen, Rick, this is what I want to talk to you about. Yeah. This is what's bothering me. One, two, and three. What's the one, two, and three that you're hearing?
Well, you know, several months ago, I would have told you that it was the occupation in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
But what I am seeing more and more across the state of Texas is just kitchen table bread and butter issues. How am I going to take care of my spouse when we get old or they get sick? How am I going to afford to drive to work at $3 a gallon? How am I going to put my kids through college? They're real bread and butter issues, and they're tired of the divisive politics, the shrill politics that tries to take people's attention away and diverts people's attention away from the meat and potato things that, you know, people are hurting out there.
What about this issue of immigration? I mean, we hear this pounded on AM radio all the time to the point of being disrespectful and hateful toward people. The issue of immigration being so important to the state of Texas and the different mix of cultures that we have in Texas, the result of us being immigrants. I'm descended from immigrants. You're descended from immigrants. We have immigrants coming. We have a river that separates one country from the next. It's not much of separation. We depend upon each other. Do you think, where do most Texans stand on the issue of immigration, and what would they like to see done to smooth over the difficulties that people are raising with the issue?
Well, as you know, Leo, I'll probably be, you know, God willing, the only U.S. senator elected that has actually commanded troops on the border. And so the things from a criminal aspect, whether it's trafficking drugs or humans or money and whatnot, is something very real that, you know, we're having to pick up because the federal government has shirked its responsibility to local and state law enforcement. At the same time, we recognize that long term we're going to need workers, but we need to know who they are, where they are, what they're doing, have that process. We also have to recognize that we need to have a process that allows people to earn their way out of the shadows. Mr. Cornyn has always supported a touchback provision, which I assume you'd put people on buses or trains and ship 12 million people out of the country. I think that would push people further into the shadows because they wouldn't leave their families, their homes, their children, their work, etc. And then we need to be able to have a process that does penalize people that would deliberately lure folks here to work and then exploit them. So we recognize that the immigration system is broken. I think everybody recognizes that. At the same time, I am not convinced. I've become somewhat cynical, and the folks that certainly support Mr. Cornyn, they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be able to say that they want to be able to have cheap labor that suppresses wages in this country, and then they want to have a political issue to rail against to play to people's fears and intolerance. That's what they do, whether it's, you know, pick a, you know, whether it's gays, whether it's, you know, it's abortion, or it's always something to be a lightning rod so that people forget about how am I going to afford health care? How am I going to get my kids through college? It's always some kind of emotional wedge issue to excite folks and play to their fears and intolerance. I think immigration is that kind of issue, and it's really unfortunate, especially here in the state of Texas. I didn't agree with Governor Bush, then Governor Bush, on everything when I was a freshman legislator here in the state. But what I did respect him for was that he would not allow the state of Texas to become a Pete Wilson-like California.
And he still, even as president, is one of the few in the Republican Party who continues to engage in a civil debate about the issue of immigration. The question that I've always had is, when my ancestors came to the United States of America, there were legal procedures and there was a process and an understanding of what the required number of immigration of immigrants were needed to populate the country. Now, of course, this was populating a landmass that had been taken from Native Americans at the time. Nevertheless, the government understood that it needed to bring people in. And it seems that if we have this many people who are here undocumented, that the federal government did a very poor job of forecasting the legal number of immigrants it would need to take care of building in the southwestern part of the country in states like California and Texas, Arizona. These states have boomed in the past couple of decades. And it seems that the federal government has utterly, in my opinion, this is me giving my opinion, failed to set those legal levels high enough. That's 20 years than we actually made available. So it's not amnesty. We're actually granting citizenship in arrears when we should have done it in advance. Is there any talk of that type of approach?
There's a lot of talk about how we have this process, again, where people can come out of the shadows. People need to remember, too, Texas is unique historically, culturally.
Was part of Mexico.
the immigration process that you just alluded to, Texas wasn't even in the equation up until really in the mid-60s, and it was a much more fluid process due to agribusiness and so forth and so on. Nonetheless, public policy isn't what we say it is, it's what's actual. In other words, if we say no child left behind in the city of Houston, we have 50% school dropout rate. If we say Clean Air Act, and yet we still pollute, it's what's actually occurring. So if we have 100,000 people crossing the border without documents, then that's our policy. That is truly our policy as a nation. And so when I suggest that folks want to have their cake and eat it too, I would suggest to people like John Cornyn and other people, I said, well, look, let's say it right now. Everybody that's out there working right now, tomorrow we're going to send you back. Your children, you, and everybody. Let's hook it up and let's do it now. Because if you're not willing to say that and to do that, then you're a hypocrite. You want to have your cake and eat it, too. You just want to rail against, you want to other somebody. And I think that is un-Texan. I think that is un-American. And we need to be serious about this issue and bring folks to the table about addressing this issue, but not be hypocrites about it. And so I just look forward to that debate.
713-526-5738 is the number for you to call to become a member of KPFT. You're not going to hear this kind of in-depth discussion with a major political figure here in Texas on any other station here in Houston. 713-526-KPFT is the number to call to show that you appreciate civil discourse of the issues, serious discussion of the issues. You're not going to find it maybe some other places, but not nearly with the consistency that you do here at 90.1 KPFT. I told Rick we'd have him for a half an hour and then have him on his way. He's got other things that he's got to get to. Rick Noriega, I want to thank you very much for coming in to be our guest,
Leo,
on the New Capital Show today. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks, Rick.
I wish you all the luck on March 4th, and we thank you very much for your insight and explanations to people on how they can participate in the primaries and the caucuses.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks, Leo. But more than anything else, I would just encourage everyone to get out and vote on March the 4th. We consistently talk about support our troops, and we have these little magnets on our cars or lapel pins and so forth, support our troops. But we have had over 100, and I want to say we're approaching 150 Texans that have been killed either in Iraq and Afghanistan. And if we are to pay tribute to the families and to those soldiers that have paid the ultimate price, what we should do as Texans and as Americans, pay them tribute by going out to vote.
I couldn't agree more with that, Rick. I wish you all the luck. It's a pleasure to meet you. Best of luck again on March 4th. Rick Noriega,
thank you, Leo,
has been the guest on New Capital Show today. Dwayne, Tell us how we're doing there in Pledge Central. I want to hear some
great time out here at the Pledge.
I want to hear some great news.
With each other, we got a half a dozen people telling stories and chit-chatting about this, that, and the other.
But are the phones ringing?
Unfortunately, most of that's not happening with people on the phone. You know, Laura and Emily and Matthew, that's it so far. And that's great, and we appreciate each and every one of them. Laura up in the Heights and Matthew and Emily from elsewhere in Houston. But we have a goal of about $1,100 on this special edition, Leo, and we have about 170 of that so far.
We are far short of it, Dwayne.
So we're just under $1,000 away from the goal, just over $900 away from the goal, however you want to look at it. And, you know, a couple of callers that want to pick up on this special offer we have. You know, a former elected official from the Democratic Party, that's Jim Hightower, agricultural commissioner, up until he was, defeated, actually, by Rick Perry, I believe, you know, in kind of a slick campaign. Jim Hightower coming to town for KPFT, promoting his brand new book. He'll be here on Wednesday night, March 19th, which is the fifth anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. And we're going to be having him down at the University of Houston for a special meet and greet event and a book signing with KPFT. His new book, Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow. We will get you into a special pre-evening meet and greet with Jim Hightower, a little FaceTime with the man. You get a copy of his book. He'll personalize it, autograph it for you. You get preferred seating at that evening's event. $150 pledge to KPFT. It's tax deductible.
And he will make you laugh.
$12.50 a month.
He's a funny guy.
41 cents a day. Uh-huh. Break it down into a really digestible amount.
Yeah,
41 cents.
And talking about digestible, I checked with last week with Ernesto and Robin. Robin, who does a fantastic job.
She's the
managing,
development director.
She's the development director, manages our membership roles and computer. And I haven't done it before. In all the pledge drives I've done, I want to do it now. I want to thank Robin. Can I do that?
You just did.
I want to thank her a third time. Robin Lewis does an amazing job. My friends, this is another example of somebody behind the scenes who keeps this radio station going. Robin, you know, we have this enormous list of members. She manages it. She helps us get gifts out in time. It's a huge job.
Hey, she could not do this alone, but she's had to for the better part of a year.
I could never do her
job. Luckily, you know, just a couple weeks ago now, just before the fund drive started, she was able to replicate herself in a fashion because she'd been carrying on the role of development director and membership coordinator since last June when Donna Platt left. So she has now become the development director in charge of the whole department, has found someone to step into her shoes up in the membership coordinator slot, and that is Janet Freeman, who comes to us very, very good-working, hard-working, very reputable person who is going to be maintaining this database for us.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to us from the Houston Symphony, where she's worked for a number of years. So she's been in the nonprofit world for a while and is now working up there with Robin in the membership office, helping to basically make sure that our customer service, if you want to, you know, be crass about it, but that's basically what it is.
It's not crass. It's not, hey, this is New Capital Show. It's not crass. Customer service.
That's it. It's key. It really is key.
It is crucial. You want to run a business, customer service capital is absolutely crucial.
And
you
we have Jag up there, too, working part-time. Yep. Jag is also data entry, pledge fulfillment, handling all that. This is like 2.5 people now handling everybody's service for about 10,000 people.
Yep.
You know, that's a lot of work. They do it really well, and we hope y'all appreciate it as much as Leo does.
I do, and look, this is how I got started on this. I got started on it because I learned last week from Robin that it is absolutely possible for you, dear listener, to make a multi-year pledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't put this out here before, and I don't know that anybody else here at the station has, but I think I'm going to start doing this. Because it's a way that I have been giving in my own personal life to organizations that I believe in, and I have found it to be enormously effective in my own personal life. For example, I will make a $1,000 pledge to an organization that I believe in, and I will tell them I'm going to pay it off over the next 5 years. You got that? I will say I'm going to pledge $1,000. I'm going to pay $200 a year for the next 5 years. And I really like giving this way because here's the reason. There are several reasons. One, it lets me make a strong vote of confidence in the organization, right? Rather than saying, here's 200, I can say, here's 1,000. So it gives me more impact. I feel better about making the impact on the organization. Number two, the organization feels better because they are receiving a larger multi-year sum. They can do their planning much better. The charitable foundation or the public radio station, whatever the recipient, whatever the charity is, can do a better job of forecasting forward what their needs are. They have pledges for multiple years going forward. It lets me relax. If they come back the next year and ask for additional donations, I know that I'm covered. I've made my pledge for a five-year period, and I feel good about it. I can sit back, I can relax, I can enjoy the benefits and the services that are coming from the organization. So what I'm saying to you out there is that if this way of giving suddenly is causing a light bulb to go off in the heads of any of you listening right now to this special edition of the New Capital Show, please call 713-526-5738 and say, maybe you say, I'd like to give $500. I'd like to make a pledge of $500 to KPFT. I want to do it over 5 years. Terrific. We love it. That's great. We would love to have that pledge. And Robin tells me that they have, you know, the software and the tracking systems and all that stuff to take care of it. And I am increasingly doing this. I've done this 3 or 4 times in the past year where I've made a pledge to an organization that I believe in over a multi-year period. And I can tell you it's very, very satisfying because it's not just a one-time deal. I feel like I'm in a long-term funding, financing partnership with the organization that I believe in. And it's very, very satisfying. And I think it's very satisfying to both parties, both the pledger, the donor, the member, and the organization that is receiving the funds. So I would very much encourage this. It may not be for all of you listening, but for those of you who are wondering, can I do this? The answer is yes. Robin gave me a big thumbs up. We can do that. We can do that.
So, we love saying yes.
We love saying yes.
Being able to say yes is a wonderful
we
thing.
We love saying yes.
Yes.
So that is a way. There are other ways. There are payment ways. You can make your membership activate through credit cards. You can do it through online at www.kpft.org. You can do it by walking in the door here, and you can, of course, do it by calling 713-526-5738. Mm-hmm. This is customer service. We are trying to make it easy for you, and we're trying to make the way that you become a member of the station meaningful because we want to continue to bring you the very best, the most civil, the highest form of radio broadcasting that you can get here in the city of Houston. And increasingly, as our shows go forth through the internet on podcasts, increasingly as our voice is heard in places all over the world. I want to tell you, I was out west at my ranch the other day, and I was driving around near Weimar, Texas. You ever been there, Dwayne? Weimar, Texas?
Been through Weimar. Mm-hmm.
Right off of I-10, Weimar, Texas. I needed to go to get some sheet panels and some T-posts.
Doing a little maintenance work out there.
Don't ask, it'll upset Janice Blue. So I'm not. I got a wild hog problem, but I don't want to have Janice on me.
You're talking feral javelinas?
I'm talking feral, not even javelinas. They're native. I'm talking feral Russian boars and tearing the place up. So I'm looking at making a thing. So I had to drive to Weimar, and there was the voice of Dwayne Bradley, clear as a bell.
Really?
As I crested over the hill coming down into Weimar, Texas, I said, look at this. This is a town in Texas that most people probably think is conservative. It may be conservative. It may have viewpoints that aren't you wouldn't think are shared. And yet here is the voice of KPFT in all of its glory, in all of its variety and diversity, incredible diversity of programming, clear as a bell there in Weimar, Texas. My friends, when you become a member, a supporting member of the station, you are supporting the voice of KPFT, not just for your own ears, not just so you can hear it, but so others can hear it. And by golly, so that others can hear it in places that you may not even imagine. In Weimar, Texas, where the cowboy hats and the boots and the jeans are walking in at lunchtime, people can get into their pickup truck, go to 90.1, and they can hear Truth in Broadcasting. They can hear alternative viewpoints. They can hear Rick Noriega, a Democrat, running for office here in Texas. They can hear from Rick Noriega there in Weimar, Texas. Won't you call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, and show that you want this not only for you, but you want it for other people in the area as well, Dwayne.
Yes. I do want to thank another member of the family from down in Missouri City, and that's Ricky. And Ricky renewed a membership to KPFT, signed up for a KPFT brand new tote bag, one of these grocery totes. These are great. 16 by 20 by 6, KPFT logo on both sides.
Ricky, thank you. I think I know Ricky.
He said so, he'll see you at 3:30.
I think I'm going to see Ricky today.
Yeah, okay. Is it a golfing buddy? Professional relationship?
Yeah, kind of.
713-526-5738 is the phone number, 526-KPFT. We're 15 minutes
Boy,
into
I hope
the noon hour.
I hope it's not golf, because my game is in tatters.
Well, I'm going to just throw this out. If you're out on your break right now, taking a lunch break here today on this beautiful, sunny winter day in Houston, Texas, and you'd like a pair of tickets to go see Hillary Clinton tonight at the Presidential Forum as part of the Energy Summit at the George Brown Convention Center, we have a small stack of tickets available, first-come, first-served basis. They're yours if you're a member of this radio station. Or maybe you'd like to pay your pledge in person, see how this little radio station built into a 93-year-old house in Montrose operates. Maybe you'd like to take the little tour, see Sparky up on the landing, the original transmitter of KPFT blown up with dynamite by the KKK twice. The first year KPFT was on the air in 1970, back when Houston was far removed from the cosmopolitan international megaplex that it is now here, the Petro Metro of the universe. Back then, 1970, far more redneck town Houston was. I know, I moved here the summer of 1970, and I remember what it was like, and I remember what Herman Short had to say about this radio station and how he couldn't believe that the government would allow this radio station to come back on the air after they'd been bombed once. Why are you sending them back on the air so we can do it again? Oh, whoops. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Leo's only going to be on board for a few more
minutes. I've only got about 10 more minutes. I got to go get my little sweetie.
Yeah, and so George my and little John my little Threshold will be on for a special edition of Thresholds early today.
Yep.
Late, but still earlier than they were thinking. 713-526-5738.
My 3-year-old is at school today, and her mother is out of town for the day, and I'm going to go pick her up. How many radio stations have hosts that go pick up their... Maybe a lot of them. I don't know.
We can actually put you on your cell phone, send you out in your vehicle, and do the show from the road.
We could do that.
If you had a hands-free thing, but I'm not going to let you drive out here and hold a phone.
We could
that's
do that.
Just,
that.
That's not good.
It might be diminishing returns from that, but we've done it before. We've done it in airports and called in from all over the place. Steve Brightwell, our terrific engineer, comes in and reminds me that we had Rick Noriega on today. We would have other Democratic candidates. We would have Senator John Cornyn on. Senator John Cornyn, anytime Senator John Cornyn wants to come in and sit down on New Capitol Show and sit for an interview
and talk turkey,
we are more than happy to have him. And you know what? When he leaves, we will not turn around and say anything like what did Barry say?
I don't know, but
take a breath, you blowhard. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the horror if a host at KPFT were to have a guest in for an interview, and when they left, then said behind the back of that guest, "Why don't you take a breath, you blowhard?"
I thought you were saying that about me, Leo.
No.
That's pretty offensive, but you know,
that's par for the course.
It's a reflection on who Michael Berry is, and I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I mean, people, you know, truth will out, and you listen and you pay attention long enough, and you actually see a person for whom they really are over time, and you know, everyone eventually will peel back the mask. Even if it's accidentally, allow you to see behind the curtain and see who the wizard really is.
There is cosmic justice.
There is
cosmic justice. I mean, Dwayne, we could never be a station that has that hosts guests, and then when they leave, we make a snide remark about them. I mean, everyone needs to understand that is so far from the culture of this radio station. And if you're that kind of person who believes in good behavior and civility, who believes that words have power, who believes that when you say things like that, it infests your brain, it turns you into that kind of person, and it does, it absolutely does, then join the station. Become a member of KPFT. The times are so important. We're coming out. I mean, you can feel it. We're emerging from these dark years that began back in, 2000 and 2001, and just, wars and attacks on skyscrapers and poor leadership, and we're coming out of it. We're starting to see glimmers, and it's not just politicians. It's the way people think. Here's a news item. Listen to this. This is great, Dwayne. This is for eco moms. Saving the earth begins at home. You hear that? The women gathered in the airy living room, wine poured and pleasantries exchanged. In no time, the conversation turned lively, not about the literary merits of Geraldine Brooks or Cormac McCarthy, but about the pitfalls of antibacterial hand sanitizers and how to retool the laundry using only cold water and biodegradable detergent during non-primetime energy hours, that is, after 7 p.m. Move over, Tupperware, for EcoMom Party has arrived. With its ever-expanding to-do list that includes preparing waste-free school lunches, lobbying for green building codes, transforming oneself into a locavore, that is, eating locally grown food, and remembering not to idle the car when picking up children from school, if one must drive. Here, the small talk is about the volatile compounds emitted by dry erase markers at school, and so on it goes. This is a story in the New York Times out of San Rafael, California, but I promise you it's coming to Houston, and it's coming to Houston in part through the airwaves of KPFT. This is what we stand for. That article may sound absurd to you, but it's not. It's about people caring about their world and doing it in a way that they have power over and making personal choices. You have the personal choice in terms of what you listen to, in terms of what radio station you listen to. It is a choice that you make, just like eco moms have a choice in what they send their children to school with to eat and how they get there and so on. You have a choice of the radio that you listen to. And when you make the choice to listen to 90.1 KPFT, you are making a choice for peace and for civility. The only thing is, we are funded by you. We're funded by you. It's an important aspect. It may seem like an inconvenience to you, but it's really, really not. It's a beautiful thing. It's a way that you up your investment in the things that you believe in and show a commitment, rather than just flitting from dial to dial and letting someone else, an advertiser representing some product that you may not believe in, foot the bill for what's going out over the airwaves. We have an intimate relationship with our listeners. We value you. We want to know who you are. We want an ongoing, long-term relationship with you. We want to get married, as it were. We don't just want to hook up. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT is the number for you to call.
Yes, sir.
And make your pledge of what? Till death do us part.
Hey, well, you're about to depart from the studio here. I have John McNamara and George Ryder from Thresholds who will be coming on board in a matter of seconds. This is the final call for the hump edition of New Capital Show and our winter membership drive. We want to thank Evelyn right here in Houston. She said it's a very informative radio station, and she's backing that with a pledge of support. First time
membership. Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you, Evelyn. Also, it's a pleasure to have you.
Yes. Also, I want to thank Aubrey, who likes the Century of Lies, Connect the Dots, loves to support the station, is listening from work right now, renewing a membership.
Those are some great shows.
Loves Democracy Now! And the New Capital Show. Thank you so much, Aubrey,
Aubrey,
your credit card pledge, Visa, Discover, American Express, MasterCard. And also, for the next 3 years, $100 a year.
I love it.
Joe picked
$300.
Okay, $300 a year for the next 3 years. And that is from Joe.
Joe, who
heard and responded from down there in Nassau.
Joe, we have got to put Joe's pledge, it's a milestone, is it not, Dwayne? Joe's pledge, is that the first sort of official multi-year pledge?
I think we'll mount it in Lucite.
This could be a trend. I think we need to get this going. So that's a $900 pledge that Joe has made for the next 3 years. Joe, you are a hero. You are my hero. You're all my heroes.
And well, a trailblazer as
a
well.
A trailblazer.
Yes. Thank you, Joe. That's great. Leo, I know you've got a little one to pick up.
I got
in
a
six
little
minutes.
One. It's a pleasure to have been with you today, Dwayne.
Hey, and it's too bad we ran out of time because I wanted to talk to you about Sirius Satellite announcing that they only lost $166 million in the last 3 months.
I mean, people need to understand we do not run at a loss at this station. We run a tight ship. We are fiscally sound.
We are.
And we are fiscally sound because we are supported by you. We would never announce a loss like that. If we have to, we tighten our belt and we spend wisely. So, like I say, I'm a financial advisor and I look at a lot of things. And I look at KPFT. KPFT is very well run fiscally. You can put your trust when you make your pledge that we run very close to the bone. We can always do things better. We know that. We're always looking about how to do that. But we run a tight ship here and we do extraordinary things on a very, very tight budget, and we appreciate every penny that we get. Thank you for that call, and we will be back with you next week on the New Capital Show.
Thanks again, Leo. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Your last chance for the New Capital Show today, the meet and greet with Jim Hightower, reception before his speech and book signing March the 19th. He's here in Houston for KPFT. His new book, Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, an autographed copy of that, some FaceTime with the man himself, Jim Hightower, preferred seating at that evening's event, $150 pledge to KPFT in the New Capital. You get that. There's also the buy one, give one solar flashlight at that $150 level if you'd like. That's an amazing, amazing offer of getting one of those buy one, give one rechargeable solar powered flashlights. You will get one as a gift, and one will be sent in your name to a village in Africa. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Evelyn, thank you so much. Aubrey, thank you so much. Joe, you're a trailblazer. Thank you for that. 713-526-5738, 526-KPFT. We'll be back with Thresholds in just a moment.